Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake, and today in the States, we have Election Day. Get out there and vote. Make sure you get out there, make your voice heard. It's a big deal. Get out there, make your voices heard. With that, though, let's get into Week 9 injury report, because they just keep piling up every damn week. With Atlanta Falcons, Drake London hip, and it looks like he suffered a hip pointer. He might be out next week. It's hard to say. He did injure this during his touchdown, I do believe, that he caught and did not return. Carolina Panthers, Xavier Leggett, he suffered a hand injury but came back later on. Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams, tweaked his ankle. It looked like he was limping off the field, but he did play through it, so it's hard to say. Bengals, Eric All, right knee, suffered. It's considered doubtful for return, and he didn't return. It's hard to say what he's going to be doing next week. Big news, Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, injured his hamstring. MRI show it's worse than they thought during the third quarter. And he is set to miss multiple weeks. Might even end up on the IR. So could be a couple to 4 weeks. CeeDee Lamb also injured his shoulder. And he is currently labeled as week to week with an AC joint sprain. We keep on looking on. And one of the biggest news is New Orleans Saints, Chris Olave, suffers another concussion. He caught the pass in the first quarter and got drilled in between two defenders. And this is his second one in the last, I think, 4 weeks, 3 weeks? I think 4 weeks, because he missed a week after. And he played last week with 100 yards, and then this week he got hurt again. This is said to be his fifth since 2020. In 4 years, he's already got five, which two in the last 4 weeks. I think they should take the Tua, put him on the IR, wait until he gets fully healthy. This team is not going anywhere. Breaking news, they did fire their head coach, so they're not going anywhere. They're 2-7, dropped the last seven games. I would make sure my young star receiver is healthy before he gets back on the field. Cedric Wilson also injured his shoulder. It's not currently said how bad it is, but he could be missing weeks as well. Philadelphia Eagles, AJ Brown injured his knee catching a ball. He was ruled out of the game, and going forward, it's hard to say if he's going to be missing any time. That is the injury reports, and we'll go through the recaps pretty fast because today we do have a new segment in this show just for today because of the election, and it's also halfway through the fantasy year or football season in general. So I'm going to also give you my best quarterback, the worst quarterback with how they're drafted and what position they're drafted. Same thing with running back, wide receiver, tight end, and I'm going to give you sleepers at each position for the rest of the season. Let's get into it. The recap for week 9. Atlanta Falcons 27, Dallas Cowboys 21. Like I said, Dak Prescott did injure his hamstring. He had one touchdown pass. Rico Dowdle had 75 yards rushing. Jake Ferguson, 7 catches, 71 yards. CeeDee Lamb, 8 catches, 47 yards. Kirk Cousins throws 222 yards, 3 touchdowns. Bijan, 86 yards on the ground. And Darnell Mooney keeps on riding the wave, 5 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. Drake London, like I said, was injured after his touchdown catch, 2 catches, 27 yards, touchdown. Kyle Pitts, 1 catch, 11 yards. Next game was the Miami Dolphins losing 27-30 against the Buffalo Bills. And Tua had 231 yards, 2 touchdowns. Devon Achane, 63 yards, 1 touchdown. Tyreek Hill, he was a sit of the week for me. 4 catches, 80 yards, 12 points for supposed to be a top-notch wide receiver. Just doesn't move me at all. I think I win that one. Devon Achane also had 8 catches, 58 yards, 1 touchdown. And Jalen Waddle, 2 catches, negative 4 yards, 1 touchdown. Not a great year so far for him. On the other side, Josh Allen, 235 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. That interception actually went through the hands of Keon Coleman and was picked off at the 2-yard line. James Cook, 44 yards. He also added 5 catches, 25 yards. He was the start of the week for me, and I think I lost that one. Ray Davis had 2 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Khalil Shakir, 6 catches, 50 yards. Don Kincaid, 4 catches, 32 yards. Also, Amari Cooper did not play during this game, as you did not hear his name. Next game, Cincinnati Bengals, 41. Killed the Raiders 24. Gardner Minshew is just struggling on this team. They actually benched him. Desmond Ridder came in, 74 yards, 1 touchdown. Alexander Mattison struggles on the ground, 36 yards. But Jacoby Myers was a bright spot for this team, 8 catches, 105 yards. Brock Bowers also added 5 catches, 45 yards, and a late touchdown. Joe Burrow is playing MVP-type level right now, 251 yards, 5 touchdowns. He also had another touchdown to the other team as he threw a pick six. Just not a smart throw. Another start of the week for running backs, Chase Brown, 120 yards, but he had 5 catches, 37 yards, and a touchdown. I think I definitely crushed that one. Mike Gesicki, 5 catches, 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jamar Chase had 7 catches, 43 yards. Again, T. Higgins did not play in this one. That keeps on being the issue with him with soft tissue injuries. Next, the Chargers 27, Cleveland 10. Justin Herbert throws for 282 yards, 2 touchdowns. J.K. Dobbins, 85 yards and 2 touchdowns. Quentin Johnston, 4 catches, 118 yards, 1 touchdown. And Ladd McConkey, 5 catches, 64 yards. On the other side, Jameis Winston looks like he's seen ghosts because he threw 3 interceptions, 1 touchdown, but 235 yards. They struggled to rush the ball with Nick Chubb only having 39 yards on the ground on 15 attempts. One of my starts of the week, 6 catches, 75 yards, 1 touchdown for Cedric Tillman. I think that passes as a good start. Jerry Jeudy, 7 catches, 73 yards. David Njoku, 5 catches, 29 yards. Next game is the most boringest game of the week. New England Patriots losing 17-20 to the Tennessee Titans. It was not even a great game. Drake May, 206 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. I didn't think he was going to play this week, but he had 95 yards rushing as well. Now, I did say Ramondre Stevenson is a sit for me. He had only 16 yards rushing. He did have a touchdown, but he also caught a late touchdown as well, why his time expired during regulation. 5 catches, 38 yards, and a touchdown. I would have said I probably would have said I won if he didn't catch that touchdown. Anyways, Hunter Henry, 7 catches, 56 yards. Kendrick Bourne finally getting his feet under him, 4 catches, 41 yards. Also, DeMario Douglas, 7 catches, 35 yards. On the other side, Mason Rudolph, 240 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Tony Pollard had 128 yards rushing, though. Calvin Ridley had 5 catches, 73 yards receiving. It's one of the most boringest games of the week by far. Washington Commanders next won this one 27-22 against the New York Giants. Jaden Daniels doing Jaden Daniel things. 15 for 22, 209, two touchdowns. He didn't really rush too much. He had 35 yards rushing. In this one, they also did not have Brian Robinson due to his hamstring injury. So Chris Rodriguez led the team 52 yards rushing. Noah Brown, 5 catches, 60 yards. Terry McLaurin had 2 catches, 19 yards, but 2 touchdowns. On the other side, Daniel Jones was going to be a sneaky start for me. 174 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he had 54 and 1 touchdown on the ground. Tyrone Tracy had 66 yards rushing. Malik Nabers also had 9 catches, 59 yards rushing or receiving. Next game is the Carolina Panthers winning against New Orleans Saints 23-22. Yikes. Derek Carr returns back to action, 236 yards, 1 touchdown. Kamara killed it, just couldn't help his team win, though. 155 yards on the ground, also adding 6 catches, 60 yards receiving. And like I said, Chris Olave, 1 catch, 13 yards. Hopefully he heals right. And I think they should do him a service and just put him on the IR. I know a lot of fantasy players don't want to hear that, but this is for a guy's safety. 2 concussions in the last 4 weeks. Protect him at all costs. Bryce Young, 171 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Chuba Hubbard with no Jonathan Brooks yet to play. I think he is set to play next week. Hubbard had 72 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jatavion Sanders, 4 catches, 87 yards. And Xavier Leggett, 4 catches, 33 yards and a touchdown. That's back-to-back weeks that they have hooked up him and Young hooking up for a touchdown. Next game, Denver Broncos 10 and Baltimore Ravens 41. I thought Bo Nix would do better in this game. He had 223 yards passing, 1 interception, 36 yards rushing. Williams had 42 yards rushing. I think I had him as a bench for me this week or sit of the week. He had 42 yards rushing, 42 yards receiving on 2 catches. I think that might be considered a push slash win because I think he's probably top, not even in the top 20 for running backs, perhaps. Cortland Sutton, though, 7 catches, 122 yards. On the other side, Lamar Jackson doing MVP things again, 16 for 19, 280, 3 touchdowns. His partner in crime, Derrick Henry, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns. And why not get another guy involved? Zay Flowers has been torching defenses receiving-wise. 5 catches, 127 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mark Andrews was a sit of the week for me. 2 catches, 26 yards. I think I won that battle. Next is the Arizona Cardinals winning 29-9 against the Chicago Bears. Kayla Williams did not have a great game this one, 217 yards, and that's it. DeAndre Swift, 51 yards rushing, and the league or the team leader, 5 catches, 104 yards, Roma Doomsday. Keenan Allen, 4 catches, 36 yards. DJ Moore, 4 catches, 33 yards. DeAndre Swift, 6 catches, 31 yards. Nothing for Cole Kmet, dud. Kyler Murray, on the other hand, 154 yards. He was a sit of the week for me as well. I won this one. He only had 6 yards rushing, surprisingly. But James Conner had 107 yards rushing. Trey McBride, 3 catches, 35 yards. And another sit of the week I won is Marvin Harrison Jr., 2 catches, 34 yards. Make sure you guys are actually paying attention on either Friday or Saturday, I come out with an episode that give you my start sits of the week. I'd say this past week, I hit probably 80% to 90% of them. Next game, Jacksonville Jaguars losing 23-28 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Trevor Lawrence, 169 yards, two interceptions. Travis Etienne plays this one, only three rushes, 24 yards. He had two catches and 6 yards as well. Tank Bigsby, 22 yards rushing. Evan Ingram, I thought he was going to have a good week with a bunch of targets, so I think I lost it. Five catches, 45 yards. Parker Washington, three catches, 41 yards. And Brian Thomas Jr., two catches, 22 yards, dud. Jalen Hurts, 230 yards, two touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, and 67 yards on the ground. Saquon Barkley dominated on the ground, 159 yards, one touchdown. Also added three catches, 40 yards, and a touchdown. Devontae Smith, I had as a start of the week, four catches, 87 yards, one touchdown. I think I consider that a win. A.J. Brown, like I said, hurt his knee, two catches, 36 yards. Detroit Lions take the next one against the Packers, 24-14. Jared Goff is just unbelievable right now since week three with his completion percentage. 18 for 22, 145 yards, one touchdown. David Montgomery, 73 yards on the ground, and Jahmyr Gibbs, 65 and a touchdown. Amon-Ra St. Brown, seven catches, 56 yards, one touchdown. Sam Laporta, two catches, 28 yards. On the other side, Jordan Love, he's still recovering from the injury, but 273 yards, one interception. Josh Jacobs should have had 100 yards if they kept on feeding him. He is the best player on the team. 95 yards rushing. Jaden Reed, five catches, 113 yards. Christian Watson, three catches, 37 yards. And Tucker Kraft, four catches, 34 yards. Sunday night football, or no, not Sunday night football. The game before Sunday night football, since it went in overtime, the Rams beating Seattle Seahawks 26-20. Matthew Stafford, 298 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Kyron Williams, 69 yards rushing. Cooper Kupp, 11 catches, 104 yards. DeMarcus Robinson, six catches, 94 yards, and two touchdowns. Puka Nacua did get ejected during this game for throwing a punch. He had one catch, 11 yards. Geno Smith just keeps racking up receiving yard or passing yards, 363, three touchdowns, three interceptions. Unfortunately, though, 83 yards for Ken Walker on the ground. And I smashed this one for starts of the week. Jackson Smith Najigba, seven catches, 180 yards, two touchdowns. Crushed that one. Tyler Lockett, three catches, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Now, Sunday night football. Indianapolis Colts losing 13-21 against Minnesota Vikings. Joe Flacco struggled again, but they say that they're going to stick with him probably for the rest of the season. 179 yards, one interception. Jonathan Taylor struggled getting anything going. 13 rushes, 48 yards. Josh Downs, though, six catches, 60 yards. Michael Pittman Jr., yikes, one catch, 14 yards. On the other side for the Vikings, Sam Darnold, 290 yards, three touchdowns, two interceptions. I thought Aaron Jones was going to get done on the ground. Unfortunately, he did not. 64 yards. He added four catches for 18. Justin Jefferson, seven catches, 137 yards. Jordan Addison, five catches, 42 yards, and a touchdown. TJ Hockenson finally back after torn ACL last year, at the end of last year. 3 catches, 27 yards. Like I said, he was a sit for me just because I wanted to see how he was going to perform. And he did have 4 targets, but his backup tight end, Josh Oliver, actually had 5 targets, 58 yards, and 1 touchdown. So it was a wait-and-see approach for me with that one. And I believe in a couple weeks he should be good going forward. Now on the Monday Night Football game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers scored toward the end of the fourth quarter, but losing overall against the Kansas City Chiefs, 24-30 in overtime. Baker Mayfield, 200 yards even, 2 touchdowns. He added 20 yards rushing. Bucky Irving, 24 yards rushing. Shad White only had 19 yards rushing and a touchdown. But like I said, Kate Otten show, give it to him. 8 catches, 77 yards, 1 touchdown. Rashad White had 3 catches, 16 yards. They were out with Jalen McMillan, unfortunately. And this might be Patrick Mahomes' finally top 10 QB performance of the week, or since last year, he has always been a sit of the week for me. 291 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 9 yards rushing, but Kareem Hunt had the game-winning touchdown and 106 yards rushing. Travis Kelce, 14 catches. Holy crap. Did not see that. 14 catches, 100 yards. Great performance for him, but the man of the hour is DeAndre Hopkins. 8 catches, 86 yards, 2 touchdowns. Huge, huge for him and Patrick Mahomes himself. You're getting elite receiver and you're finally using him how you should. That was week 9 recap. Next, I'll be going over the waiver ads and then I'm going to incorporate a different type of thing for myself. With the election today, I'm going to have a president and vice president and then a losing vice president and president. And since it's also midway through the season, I'm also going to give you the best and worst at each position and sleepers for the rest of the season. Starting with the quarterback position waiver ads. My number one is Aaron Rodgers. He's available in 53%. The last 3 weeks with Davante Adams there, he's been getting a bulk load of points. He's getting roughly about 20 to 23 points a game. So it's good, especially for a 40-year-old guy. Next is Trevor Lawrence, 59%. He might be actually number three. I should have probably put Bo Nix, 56% available. With Lawrence missing Brian Thomas Jr. a little bit in and out of the lineup last week and missing Christian Kirk for the rest of the season, I do like Bo Nix. I think he's quarterback 8 on the year, which is crazy, and he's still a free agent. Other couple is Daniel Jones, 84%, and Justin Herbert, 54% available. Next is a running back ads. Rico Dowdle, 29%. They bench Zeke this past week due to some kind of team issue, being late to meetings and such. He's available in 29%. He's the starter. And even Dalvin Cook just has not gotten on the field, even though they activated him from the practice squad. Zach Charbonnet, 44%. Anything happens to Ken Walker, it's a great handcuff and back. They showed that they are passing and giving him a couple of handoffs, but it's more use in the receiving area. Next is Audric Esme, 95%. With Javonte Williams struggling this year, it's a good idea to get SMA, they said Sean Payton came out yesterday saying that he wants to give SMA more touches. Just hopefully he protects the rock and hangs on to it. That's the biggest flaw for him is fumbling. Other couple is Tyler Allgeier, 53%, and Jalen Warren. For wide receivers, it's crazy. He's still available in 32% of leagues. As the last 3 weeks, he's been dominant. Cedric Tillman, just a great pickup. If you did, congrats the last couple weeks. Huge pickup, and I would continue to play him. Next is Xavier Leggett, 52%. Him and Bryce Young have hooked up the last 2 weeks with a touchdown, and I think they got some kind of connection going on. Might as well ride the wave. Jerry Jeudy is 35%. He's been playing good as well, like Tillman, with Jameis Winston as the quarterback. Their passing volume is gone up tremendously, especially because Watson cannot throw the damn ball. Other two is Jalen Tolbert, 64%, with CeeDee Lamb week to week, who knows, and DeMarcus Robinson. It's unknown about Puka with his knee. It seems like he keeps popping up in reports every other week or every week since he's came back. Next is tight end position. Hunter Henry needs to be rostered. I do believe he's tight end 7 on the year. 6, 7, 8. It's just crazy. Tight end 1 in fantasy, still on free agents. Jonnu Smith is 84% available. He's been producing good numbers since Tua's came back. Jatavion Sanders for the Panthers has been great with Bryce Young coming in, 93%. Mike Gesicki, 80%. He had a big week. I just want to see him play more than 60% of snaps. And if he does that, I think he could be huge. And Pat Freiermuth, 48%. So for this segment, I'm going to do the president that wins as the best fantasy player this year, in my opinion. And the VP is going to be the second best, or his running mate in this instance. With that, the president is Lamar Jackson, going for his third overall MVP, and he deserves it. He has had a passing touchdown each game, averaging over 2 passing touchdowns a game, and has only 2 interceptions on the year. Also, like I've said multiple times, rushing quarterbacks give you that huge upside. He has 505 yards rushing and is on pace for almost 1,000 yards for the season. He is this year's MVP. He is currently the first half MVFP, most valuable fantasy player by far, and he continues. He is the president. He's leading all overall most leagues, depending on how your league scoring. He is number one. With that, his VP, his running mate, I mean, who else other than Derrick Henry? I mean, it makes sense. His VP has to be Derrick Henry, the best running back on the season. He has a touchdown in every single game so far. And I mentioned at the beginning of the season, if I was a betting man, I would pick the over for touchdowns. I think it was set at 12.5 or 13.5 touchdowns on the season. And if I was betting, I should have went down and bet. He has 13 total touchdowns right now in 9 games. And he still has 8 games left on the season. He's already have over 1,000 yards rushing right now. He's averaging 116 yards per game and a 6.26 yards per carry is ridiculous. He is probably going to win this year if he keeps his numbers going up as a offensive player of the year, and by far he should deserve it. He is the VP of this first year or first half of the season. for me. The losing president is like the most disappointing player so far this year, in my opinion. And that has to be Christian McCaffrey. I understand he is a unicorn. He is great. He is a good player. But when you draft him in the first four picks in a redraft league and he misses the first 10 weeks, it's a struggle to have a good team. I mean, let's just might as well say trade away your first pick for 10 weeks and see how your team's holding up. You're not getting, you know, Jamar Chase's, St. Brown's, or anyone else. You're getting a nobody for 10 weeks. It has to be the most disappointing pick of the season right now. I know a lot of leagues, and I was in, he was drafted as the number one spot. His ADP was the 102, and if you picked him at the 102, you didn't pick in the second round until the second last pick. So you're getting the number 23 overall drafted player. It's hard to make your team good if that's how it's going to go. Hard to make a playoff push when your top pick is out for 10 weeks. You only have a few more weeks to try to get in the playoffs, and hopefully whoever has McCaffrey does that for their own sake. And if not, maybe if you can trade picks, trade him right now for next year's second round, third round, even first, you know, if it's a redraft league and you could trade picks. He's definitely the biggest disappointment by far. The losing VP for me is either his teammate or himself. I'm going to say Jalen Waddle, drafted at 208. Yikes. He is ranked currently wide receiver 50 or 65 right now on the year. Yes, Tua was out, but even with Tua the last two games, he hasn't got much fantasy points. He only has 1 week this season that he's hit double-digit numbers, and that was week one. Besides that, he's hit dud weeks over and over and over. In recent years, he's finished as the wide receiver 17 and the wide receiver 7, but this year, not living up to those type numbers. And the hype was a major disappointment, especially if you drafted him in the second round. You could have probably got Derrick Henry at that 208 position. It's just a big disappointment having him in the second round. I believed in him. Taking him in multiple leagues in the second or third round myself. And boy, am I kicking myself in the ass for that. Also, it doesn't help that Devon Achane is getting so many targets and little dump-off passes where Waddle has success. And moving forward, I think Waddle kind of struggles now with Achane taking up those little intermediate passes. Same with Jonnu Smith is taking those passes as well. He is the losing VP. Like I said, that was the election little segment. And next is the halfway point. I'm not going to mention the guys that I just did, the top four or the last four guys. I'm going to mention the best quarterbacks and worst quarterbacks based on where they're picked. Same thing for running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And then I'll give you sleepers to trade or trade targets for the rest of the season. With that, the best quarterback has to be Baker Mayfield. His ADP was 13th round, 8th pick. He's currently ranked the number 2 quarterback on the season. Usually late round picks tend to be little dart throws. And if you did for Baker, you got yourself a good quality starting quarterback. Even with Godwin and Mike Evans missing, he's finished as a quarterback 7 and I think the quarterback 12 this week. But still, I mean, he's getting numbers done. He's passing for a buttload of yards, getting your touchdowns, getting some rushing upside as well. Another player could have been Jaden Daniels was another thought. He was picked in the 7th round or 8th round at the end of 7th, beginning of 8th. But I thought with Baker in the 13th and he's ranked number 2 on the season, there's no one else. The worst pick has to be Patrick Mahomes. I just dig at this guy so much. His ADP was 306. With him being at a 3rd-round draft pick, it's just it kills me to pass on wide receivers or running backs at the 3rd round. He hasn't given you, besides maybe this past week, a top 10 quarterback finish since week 12 of last year. Passing up those players for him, he's currently, before everything added up for last night's game, was quarterback 23. Definitely a disaster pick if you had him and you picked him high. The worst quarterback is Patrick Mahomes for fantasy so far this first half. Best and worst running backs? The best has to be Alvin Kamara. His ADP was 508 in redraft leagues. He's currently ranked the number 2 behind King Henry himself. He continues to get more and more opportunity. Also, Kendre Miller just landed on the IR. Jamal Williams is hurt still. And Chris Olave is most likely out for a while, if not the rest of the season. He gives you upside in rushing and receiving for the rest of the season. And he just signed an extension, so he wants to be as a Saint player for the rest of his career, it looks like. The worst has to be, though, Travis Etienne. I've selected him in a few of my own personal leagues. He was selected as the 312, but a lot of times I've seen him going in the 2nd round, myself included again. He is currently the running back 40. Yes, he's missed a couple games, but seriously, his backup, Tank Bigsby, is outplaying him on this god-awful Jacksonville team. Bigsby is running back 34. Travis Etienne looked promising and coming into the season looking like he was going to get a heavy workload because Tank Bigsby's rookie year was god-awful and terrible. With that, made Etienne a great play and in line for a heavy workload this year. But boy, we struck out on this one. He's just been terrible. Running back 40, you could get so many players way later that's doing far better. I mean, example, Alvin Kamara. You could pick him almost two rounds later, and he's number 2 running back. Those are the best and worst running backs so far in the first half of the season. Next is the wide receiver position. The best would have been Chris Godwin until he got injured 2 weeks ago and is out for the remainder of the season. So now I had to switch to Terry McLaurin, in my opinion. As ADP, he was at 401. He's currently wide receiver 7. In the last 7 games, he has over 14 fantasy points in every single week. The first 2 games of the season was a struggle because when you have a rookie quarterback, it's hard for them to adjust to the speed of NFL defensive players compared to college. But since then, he's been on a tear. Him and Daniels keeps connecting, and I only think it goes up for the rest of the year. The worst, he was going to be the losing VP, in my opinion, but I'll put him here. Tyreek Hill drafted at 103. His ADP was 103. He's currently wide receiver 31. Yes, like I said, Tua was out. But that shouldn't give him no excuses. I mean, look at Justin Jefferson last year or even this year. Who thought Sam Darnold was going to be good? Not a lot of fantasy managers because he's still on free agents. And Jefferson is just that elite. He gets great fantasy performances. Tyreek Hill, it looks like he depends a little too much on his quarterback because he's been a dud the last 4 weeks before Tua came back. And he's only gotten 1 week over 14 points in a PPR league, which is not great at all. Cortland Sutton has more than him with four, and he was drafted seven rounds later than Tyreek Hill. He is the worst wide receiver in the first half, in my opinion, based on draft position. The tight end position, the best has to be, hands down, Brock Bowers, the rookie. ADP 708, and currently he is the tight end one on a team where targets will keep coming his way, especially with Davante Adams gone. It's really just Bowers and Jacoby Myers competing for targets, but Bowers is a better player in my opinion, and he's proven that. He's getting the touchdowns like this past week, and a lot of times we have a hard time believing in rookie tight ends, but we might have to adjust to that because even last year, Sam Laporta was the tight end one or two, and right now, rookie sensation, Brock Bowers is tight end one. The worst, speaking of Sam Laporta, has to be Sam Laporta, has to be the worst. His ADP was 303. He's currently tight end 18. Yikes! When you spend a high draft pick on these single positions, such as a quarterback and tight ends, you bypass great running backs and wide receivers in the top three rounds. Like, that kills you. And if you draft a tight end in the top three rounds, you're hoping at minimum he's top five at his position. But there's multiple players you could have got off free agents, such as Hunter Henry. He's still on free agents. I said it earlier. I think he is tight end 6, 7, or 8 on the year. And Sam Laporta, yikes. Biggest dud of the tight end positions. Those were the best and worst players so far in the first half of the football season. The sleepers the rest of the year for me at quarterback, I mean, it might not be a sleeper, but Joe Burrow is currently QB5, but I think he'll finish as a QB2, if not the QB1 by the end of the year. I really just love how he's been playing the last few weeks. Even with T. Higgins out, he's producing mass numbers. Sleeper for the running back position, same team. Chase Brown, currently running back 20. But news broke yesterday that Zach Moss is out indefinitely with a neck injury. So that paves a way for him to get a huge workload. And in week 9, he showed that what he can do when he gets a big workload. He finished as a running back 4 on the week. So with Zach Moss out for who knows how long, Chase Brown could push for a top running back position. For the wide receiver, I got to say Davante Adams. He's back with Rodgers. They've been looking good the this past week. This was week number 3 together. He now is learning the offense, in my opinion, and I think he becomes somebody's league winner this year. He's currently wide receiver 40, yes. I believe he will finish in the top 12 or top 15 by the end of the year. It's a 38-point difference from wide receiver 40 to wide receiver 15, but I think he'll get it done and he'll finish right where I said, top 15 for wide receivers, especially with Rodgers playing pretty damn good the last few weeks. My number one guy for tight ends has to be Kate Otten. The Kate Otten show is turning up, baby. Since Godwin went down, He will be leaned on heavily, like I said. And so far, he's picked up the pieces left behind. He's got 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, 21 targets in those last 2 weeks. Also, he's got 31 targets in the last 3 weeks. He's just going to keep on getting these targets, especially with Mike Evans out for how many ever weeks currently. He's going to be a sleeper. I would go reach out, talk to your managers, see if they want to give him up. He's going to finish in the top 5 for tight ends for sure. That was all the sleepers. So far, league winners and first half losers, in my opinion. That is another episode of Fantasy End Zone. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. Also, email any questions you have at fantasyendzonepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. I'll see you guys later. Also, be sure to go out there and vote. Make your voices heard. And I'll see you guys later this week. Peace.